back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Still to come on the show, Brad Presnell, political consultant, will join us in the next hour. Paul DeMarco from Jefferson County in the 11 o'clock hour. And we'll wrap it up with Sean Ross, formerly of Yellowhammer News, now of the Katie Britt for U.S. Senate campaign at SR Communications. So please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. You know him, you love him. He represents us here in the 1st Congressional District. Jerry Carl on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. What a beautiful day to be alive, as my grandfather used to say.
That's good to hear. That's a pretty good disposition to have. Let's kick it off here. Your reaction to the federal ruling on the congressional districts. I assume you're somewhat were involved with the process of the new lines, keeping an eye on that. But what was your reaction to the federal court's decision?
Well, the federal court's decision caught us all by it stunned us. We had no idea. I mean, you've got two appointees from Trump and one from Obama, and for them to do that just doesn't make much political sense. I'll tell you, if I was a Democrat Party who is one of the instigators pushing this, I would be very concerned, because now you're going to get two districts instead of being 70% minority. They're going to wind up being somewhere around, 51-52%. And in this election cycle, in 2022, you're going to have a red wave. You're going to have Republicans that probably have not voted in years to turn out and vote. But there's nothing to turn out and vote for the Democrat side. So I think they've shot themselves in the foot with this one. I don't get it. I mean, the population-wise, minority-wise, it's less percentage-wise. It's less now than it was in 2010. But they always fought. File these lawsuits, and it's just something that always comes up. But we were surprised, needless to say. Today we're changing our strategy, our campaign strategy. So we're actually moving around, getting some stuff realigned, just in case our lines do get redrawn. We have to run against probably Barry Moore. Barry and I are very close friends. But if it is what it is, if we have to run against one another.
Yeah, that, when you have an incumbent versus incumbent, and particularly, those are always tend to be very drag out fights. Well, let me ask you this, though. If you do have seven congressional districts, typically Republicans have not, or historically, I should say, have not really contested the seventh congressional district. Maybe every now and then somebody will qualify, but it's never thought of to be serious. What do you think, how Republicans, should they play in all seven congressional districts in Alabama if the lines lend themselves to such an environment?
No doubt about it. And the lines will be marginalized that way. There's no other choice. So Terry actually lives in Birmingham, so I'm assuming she would run in that district. And they're talking about, and nobody panic on this, because we're a long ways from it, but the possibility of the new district coming all the way down into Mobile, taking part of the city of Mobile, Pritchard primarily, is what they're targeting. So we could very easily wind up with a district between here and Birmingham, between us, that's, somewhere close to 45-47%, Republican. And I'm telling you, if we can get enough Republicans out, this is a chance we could take all seven districts statewide. It's a real good. That's what I'm saying. The Democrat Party needs to be real careful what they wish for here, because the first person we go to redraw lines was Terry Sewell. And we all respect Terry, and we all like Terry. And we asked Terry, okay, we got to give you X amount of votes. Which way do you want your territory, your district to move? So she got first dibs at everything. So for them to come back and cut it in half, Terry cannot be happy with what they're trying to do. She can't, because it makes her very vulnerable, especially up in the Birmingham market. Because Birmingham district, the way they're redrawn it, Mountain Brook, for example, would move in Terry's district. So you'll see a lot of players in Mountain Brook and a lot of money that will move over into that district. Again, it's going to be very close to 50-50. And they'll get out the vote. They'll get out the Republican vote. So it's not a very smart move for the Democrats at this point to do what they did. Of course, they didn't know what was coming through this last year either, but it is what it is. And, but we're preparing for worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenario is we get chopped up here in Mobile County, which I do not want. I mean, I love my folks in Monroe County, and, you know, I love my district the way it is. I don't want it to change, obviously, but we have very little input on these changes as a congressman, trust me.
Well, will you have any input? I assume the members of the legislature will reach out to you guys and say, hey, what do you think of this or what do you think of that?
I think the members have done a good job touching base with everybody, again, including Terry Sewell, the single Democrat. So we've all been kept in, and they told me the changes that I was going to have in my district early on, which was to lose a little bit of Escambia County and lose part of Clark County. Again, I didn't want to lose those parts, but, you know, it is what it is. We got such a explosion of growth in Baldwin County that it offsets the numbers. So, Jeff, it is what it is, and we're just going to have to, you know, wait and see what comes out. We had a phone call yesterday that lasted for about an hour. All the attorneys, all the consultants, all the congressmen were on. They basically told us that they're trying to push it to the next level in the court system. They think they can have a reading by the middle of next week. If not, it'll be before the 11th. And if it's not before the 11th, they'll just keep putting those deadline dates out there and moving them. I think they can move them as far as July. But the court's got in their mind that it can be done. So, you know, let's see what happens.
Well,
the next phase, the court says no. You know, go back and let the legislators do their job and let them draw them the way they see fit.
Well, do you see that as a potential scenario where they would give a higher court would give you relief and let things continue as they are right now? Or is the other, you know, what we see right now, brand new lines and, you know, shake the edge of sketch and start drawing again and wind up with what would probably be a bad case scenario for you and Barry Moore having to face each other? I mean, did they give you a sense of that maybe there would be the possibility of some relief between now and election time?
Yeah, they don't want to talk too positive about it because they don't want to get folks' hope up. But we think that the next level is going to get kicked back. Now, I assume that once it gets kicked back, NAACP can, and the Democrat Party and the women's voters' rights are the three that are in this lawsuit. So I assume they can appeal that portion and go with it too. But we'll at least have the fine line and we can start running our campaigns, and it may be something they actually have to change in 2024. But we're fighting it. We're doing as much as we can do. We don't want to give up territory. I appreciate county lines. I like a well-defined territory, and a line running through the middle of a city is not a good thing.
Yeah, well, and that's like a mixed kind of there's a sentiment out there or a wisdom out there that suggests that if you have two members of Congress for one city that you have double representation. But sometimes when that happens, you get lost in the mix, I guess, that they don't – the members – it could go either way, right, where if you did have two members representing Mobile – It could be a positive or it could be a negative where the Mobile becomes an afterthought. They're secondary in the district.
Well, I would hope not. Of course, there's that possibility, but I really don't think so. That's not my opinion, no. I mean, as county commissioner, there were three of us that had the city of Mobile split up. The three of us would have to sit down and figure out where our money was being spent within our districts and within the city of Mobile. So, it worked well. I mean, it worked well. I split it up. I don't want it that way by no means, but I don't want to plant the seed that it's, you know, the sky's going to be falling because we do try to work together. I try to work with Terry. I try to work with Barry, everybody that touches my district. I represent the state of Alabama. I'm elected by my district. So, you know, their success is my success. And that's the mentality we need to have as a country too. So, We need to quit. You know, it's all about me and mine and I. So, it's just a mentality we need to change. So I disagree with that. You know, the city's going to not benefit from it.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program, the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, let's shift to international affairs. That seems to be where a lot of focus is in the news cycle right now. The Biden administration, I don't know if they're jumping the gun here, but they're certainly sounded the alarm about Russia, what Russia may do, may go into Ukraine. It's got a lot of chatter going here. Well, what do you make of that situation? How involved should the United States be in that?
Well, I tell this story. I sent a son into active combat twice, and I promise you the last thing I want to do is send anyone's child into active combat. That should be our last resort. Now, with that said, I'm real curious why the European nations aren't more alarmed and why they are not doing more. I don't know why we have to be the peacekeepers of the world. Now, I don't mind sending supplies over there. When you talk about Ukraine, it's a very corrupt country. That's the reason NATO does not want them. That's widely known. They just can't be trusted with some things. So I'm not in the mood to run over there and spill American blood to stop something that may or may not be happening. Now, with that said, 8 months ago, I got a briefing. And it was not a secure briefing, so I can talk about it. But they told us what was going to take place. So this is stuff that the president's been aware of a long time. The only reason he's doing what he's doing right now is he woke up and he heard somebody say, "This is Afghanistan 201. Yeah, we're doing Afghanistan all over. I'm sorry, Afghanistan point two or whatever the correct term is there, but." And all of a sudden, his people are scrambling, worrying about this turning into another Afghan situation. I tell you, one way they could have diverted this with the Afghan situation is pull that equipment out and relocate that equipment. Give it to the NATO troops. I mean, give that $84 billion worth of equipment, give it to the NATO troops. That would have made the most sense. But we didn't do that. Obviously, we pulled out and left all of that on the ground for the terrorist organizations to deal with. So I think the president is doing exactly what he's been doing for the last year. He's leading from the back. He reacts to everything versus responding. His reaction is always politically motivated instead of common sense motivated. And we're reliving the same old thing over and over. You know, we got 30,000 people in Ukraine right now. Have you heard him tell everybody to get out of Ukraine?
Well, he evacuated
a handful.
Right, the embassy, right?
Well, that's the embassy. Those are the easy folks to get out. They've got some political cover. When you're talking about civilians on the ground, I mean, that's where we missed it in Afghanistan. You know, if we're going to get them out, let's get them out. Now, Russia is dealing with a different creature, obviously, than the Taliban. I will give them that much credit. But you're going to see, in my opinion, you're going to see Russia needs that. They want those ports. Those ports play well into their oil and gas leases and what they're selling. There's some huge gas reserves in the Ukraine that they can tap into and develop if they can control the government. So I think it's going to happen. I truly do. I don't want it to happen. But the Europeans need to get more involved. You know, Germany is a good example. Germany is kind of stepping back, and they're doing a little bit here and there. That's it. If Germany's not going to worry about it, why should the U.S. worry about it?
Well,
I mean, that's simple.
A couple of things here that could affect, we're kind of running short of time here, but, first off, energy prices could be linked to whatever happens there. All this stuff is traded on a global market. So, that's number one. But number two, what kind of message does it send if the U.S. just kind of, turtles here and stays out of the way and NATO does nothing? How does China react? How do the Iranians react? Or do they have a gauge of Joe Biden, what kind of message does that send to those adversaries? So when when this happens, I guess those are the questions I would ask. You know, that how does this impact us here at home?
Well, you know, Putin is a people reader. I mean, he's good at what he does. You know, ex-KGB, he's got Biden figured out. He's got him analyzed. He knows how far he can push him. And I'm sure the Chinese are sitting back with a grin on their face because, you know, today we're not talking about China. We're talking about Russia. And that helps them. But, you know, our allies over there, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, most of them have not washed their hands of us, but they don't trust us anyway. So that's what I'm saying. If I was in control right now, I would be pulling them together going, okay, this is our last hurrah. We can do it together or you can do it by yourself. You know, give me a chance to prove ourselves. But let's not rush in there, Americans by themselves, and try to save Ukraine with American blood. I see no advantage to that. No advantage.
Congressman, you've been very kind with your time this morning. Hopefully we could talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless America, buddy.
Thanks. Congressman Jerry Carl there on the line with us. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Never made a single person cold, but I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.